Good morning. Let's open in prayer again.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, and I just thank you for an opportunity to come before your men. And Father, I just pray that the words that I would have would be of encouragement. And Father, that you would just work in our lives and just renew some of the things that you've started in our lives. And we just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as Mike asked me about coming today, I said, yeah, that'd be fine. I said, but, you know, we might need to make this into a multi-part series. Because, you know, I've been walking with the Lord now since 1980, so that's been a while. And God is taking my wife and I on an absolute amazing journey. We have had the gamut of experiences from the ultimate lows to the ultimate highs. And I mean everything you could imagine in between. I think we've had the experiences of what typically 5 or 10 families would have condensed into our family. So it seems to us anyway, maybe not. But anyway, today I'm just going to talk about how I came to the Lord. I was raised in a completely non-religious, non-churched family. No one in our family, not in my immediate family or any of my known relatives, had anything to do with church of any kind, to my knowledge anyway. And anyway, so that's the environment I grew up in, just a middle income, nothing unusual, you know, nothing really spectacular, nothing bad, everything just kind of status quo. Then when I got into high school, I should back up. I do remember once as a child, probably 5 years old, my mother tried to take me to Sunday school somewhere. I don't even remember the rest of the family coming, or if it was just her and I don't know. But it was an extremely traumatic experience. She tried to drop me off in the nursery somewhere or children's care of some kind, and I was terrified because I didn't know these people, didn't know this place, and I grabbed onto her purse strap so tightly that when she was trying to get away, I broke her purse strap. And I don't even remember anything else about the event. I don't know if I ended up staying there or not, but I know that much. That was my church experience until I was in high school. Once I was in high school, I had a close friend of mine, that a girl that later became a girlfriend. But anyway, she was just absolutely fired up for Christ. And I didn't understand who she was or what she was about for quite a while. I just knew she was a peculiar girl anyway. But she just, like I said, she didn't mind letting people know that she was a Christian. But I didn't know what that meant. Yeah, well, she was a Christian. My best friend was a Mormon. And, you know, I knew other people of other faiths at that time now. But I didn't know that that was any different. I didn't know being a Christian was really different than, you know, other than that's just a different church, but all churches are the same as far as I know. So anyway, this one particular day in high school, we're sitting in like an economics class, and she is just fired up. I mean, it's like she drank a whole pot of coffee. She just can't sit still. She is so jacked up and excited. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? She was sitting right next to me. And she didn't really want to talk, and she's finally, we had this thing at church last night, and it was some sort of an event, and I'm like, you had something at church last night, and you're acting like this at school today? You know, I don't know what could possibly happen at a church that would get a person fired up like this. You know, I just couldn't understand this, and so. She said, well, you know, we'll talk about it later because we can't talk that much in class, you know, without causing a disruption. So anyway, she, you know, obviously being a serious believer, she saw that, you know, I was interested now, right? I had taken the bait, and so now she was going to capitalize on that opportunity. So she invited me to church, and I'm like, no, I don't think I want to go to church, you know, and all that stuff. And so she was very persistent. So she finally got me to go to church with her at Calvary Chapel. See Pastor Mike, of all things, a different Pastor Mike. So I go to church, and I didn't really like it. You know, he was really stern, and, you know, he taught the scriptures, and basically he said, you know, this is God's word, and I make no apologies for it.
It is what it is, and if you don't like it, I'm sorry. That's just too bad. It's God's Word, and if there's any variation between it and our lives, we're the ones that need to adapt, not the Scripture. There's nothing wrong with the Scriptures. They are perfect. We are not. And I'm like, man, that's kind of rude, you know? What about all this love and stuff, you know? And so, so when he left, she's like, well, what'd you think? And I'm like, I don't think I like it. I don't like him either. And she says, she quickly realized, you know, the fish is about to get away. And so she says, you can never judge anybody on the first meeting. You have to at least three times, I think is what she said. You know, so anything to keep me on the hook, you know. And so I'm like, well, I'll think about it. And so reluctantly, I don't know how much time passed. I don't know if it was the next weekend or weeks, I don't know. But anyway, she managed to coax me back to church again and then again. And then I just started going with her regularly. And then next thing you know, I've been going to church now for probably about 4 months. 4 months, three times a day, or three times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I mean, I'm just taking it in, you know, and now I'm hungry for it. I don't really know why, but I just cannot get enough of this stuff. And so now I was going, whether she went or not, I would go. And so I was, like I say, going to church now three times a week, just to hear this stuff from the Bible and what God has to say. And after about 4 months of this, if anyone were to ask me, are you a Christian or not? I would have said, well, yeah. And if they were to ask me, what does that mean? I would have given a textbook answer. Right? I mean, after 4 months of three times a week feeding on... And this guy, I ended up going to church there for a number of years. I still consider him to be one of the top 5% of Bible teachers I've ever heard. He was phenomenal. Anyway, so after 4 months of this, I mean, I was just filled with all this Bible knowledge. And like I said, if somebody would have asked me, I would have given a textbook answer. If they would have said, what do I need to be? What do I have to do to be saved? I could have led them to Christ and probably would have. But I didn't realize till later, I wasn't a Christian. I was just somebody who had lots of Bible knowledge in my head. And I wore the shirt today, not so that anybody would think of me as more Christian or not, because, believe me, over the years, I've seen a lot of people wear Christian garb and stuff that don't act very Christian, you know. The Scriptures say it's by our love for one another that people will know who we are, right? Not by what we wear or what stickers we put on our car. I put this on here because it's a reminder of the rest of the story that I'm going to tell you. And the t-shirt just says, you know, which side of the fence are you on? Which side are you on? And of course, it's referencing the Scripture out of Matthew about serving God or serving money. But for today, which side of the fence are you on? Like I said, after about 4 months, I've got all this head knowledge. I would have given textbook answers. I could have led someone to Christ. Probably would have led someone to Christ if they would have asked, you know, what do I have to do? But still, I didn't know it. I was still not a Christian. I would have told somebody I was a Christian. I would have been proud to tell them I was a Christian, but I was not. So this one night, the church was showing beginning a series of movies. Some of the old timers will remember, called A Thief in the Night. Distant Thunder, and I can't remember the other ones. But anyway, so they're showing this movie, and in the movie, it's about the rapture and what happens before, during, and after the rapture. So in the movie, it clearly depicts these different groups of people. There are these true followers of Christ, then there's church people, then there's people who could care less, and then there's people that are really anti-God, anti-church. So it's basically like the four main groups. And so the first part of the movie, they just establish the characters. This character belongs to this group. And, you know, I mean, they don't tell you that, but that's how it's playing out. So then the rapture happens in the movie. The rapture happens. And, of course, I'm quite well-versed in what the rapture is all about after 4 months of Calvary. And at that time era, that was a big push with the Calvaries was, you know, being ready for the rapture. Every day, it could be today. We need to be ready at a moment's notice So in the movie, I completely understand what's taking place in this movie. The rapture happens, and then now that the rapture happens, it goes back and starts checking in with the different groups, right? So it checks in with the true followers of Christ. Well, they're gone, of course. Then it checks in with the church people, and they're all like, oh my gosh, we missed it. They know what happened, but they're still here. And then the people who don't care are just scratching their head and going, what in the world's all this crazy stuff? You know, because of course the world's all in turmoil and everything. And they just have no clue. And then of course the anti-God people are mad and they're blaming, you know, everything. And so, but as soon as it clearly depicts, you know, after the rapture, all the different groups and where they are, I tell you, the light came on like that, you know. And it was literally, oh my gosh, I'm in the wrong group, right? I'm sitting there in my chair and I'm thinking, I'm in the wrong group. I'm one of those church people. I'm not a follower of Christ. And they had clearly defined the difference between church people and followers of Christ. And I knew at that moment. I mean, nobody got up and spoke yet. It was just the movie's still playing. It still got, I don't know, half an hour, 40 minutes to go. I don't know. But I knew at that very moment that I was in the wrong group. And I tell you, I put my feet in the start blocks and was ready because I'd been to church long enough to know when this movie's over, they're going to have an altar call, right? And I tell you, right then at that moment, I had my feet in the start block. I was the first one to hit the front. I was anxious the whole rest of the movie to get to the front and pray because I know I needed to get up there and pray to receive Christ. Well, of course, I realize now that it wasn't when the movie was over and I prayed for Christ, you know, I don't think that really was my moment of conversion. It's when that light came on and I realized, you know, that I'm in the wrong group. I need Christ in my life. I made that decision clear back here, waiting anxiously for the movie to get over, basically to confirm it with somebody. So I realized which side of the fence I was on. I was on the side of the fence of just a churchgoer. I was not a follower of Christ. I was a churchgoer. I had lots of Bible knowledge, but it's all meaningless if you're not a follower of Christ. And so that's how I came to Christ. And there's one scripture that came to mind as I was kind of recalling this story. And if you would turn with me, if you have a Bible, to Romans chapter 1. And while this is not, you know, a lot of people say they have a favorite Bible verse or something like that, or one that they kind of hang their hat on or live their life by. While this is not necessarily mine, this one is kind of summarizes what I'm talking about today. This scripture is in 1 verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." The reason why I'm even here today and can tell this story is because this girl in high school was not ashamed of the gospel. She didn't care who knew. She made it a point to make sure people knew she was a Jesus freak, a follower of Christ. You know, a lot of people thought she was odd. She was an odd girl. But she was a beacon. Like I said, she didn't have to say church this, church that to me. She lived her life and I could see something. This girl's on fire for some reason. What in the world causes a person to act this way? And what it was is she was not ashamed of the gospel. She was all excited about something that happened at church and how God had worked in her life and she was just raring to go. And she didn't mind letting people know that. And how many of us are like that? Not enough. If enough of us were like that, there'd be a different story in our society, no doubt, right? Considering that this nation started pretty much as a band of followers of Christ, how in the world did we get where we are? Because too many people are not like this. And myself, too. You know, we need to not be ashamed of the gospel. Christ has given everything for us. How can we not at least stand up and tell other people, hey, this is what God has done for me? You know? And we don't necessarily have to go around being preachy. That girl wasn't being preachy. She was just excited about her Savior. And it drew me in. And she set the hook. And that's what we should be doing with others. So just want to remind myself. It's a good reminder to myself and everyone else too. Which side of the fence are we on? Are we in the church group or are we in the followers of Christ? If we're followers of Christ, are we just warming a pew every week? Or are we actually out there concerned about those who are passing away? Every day, how many people pass into eternity? Unfortunately, most to the wrong side of eternity. You know, and to my shame, for sure, I've let people that I care about make that transition without doing enough. So it seems to me. So anyway, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your loving kindness, for your patience. Father, I thank you for those who have gone on before us that have paved the way for us, and many who have paid dearly to be able to transmit this message to us. And Father, I thank you for that friend of mine that was not ashamed of who you are and her relationship with you. Father, I pray the same for the rest of us in this room, that you would teach us and mold us, Father, that we would be used in a similar way. I just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.